From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. A federal judge has overturned California's ban on same-sex marriage, ruling it unconstitutional. U.S. District Court Judge Vaughn Walker says the lawsuit challenging the ban demonstrated overwhelming evidence that it violates due process and equal protection under the Constitution. Mary Bonato is an attorney with Massachusetts-based Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders.
The decision reminds us that the freedom to marry is a long-established right belonging to all Americans, including gay and lesbian Americans.
Meanwhile, a judge granted a request for a stay by gay marriage opponents while the decision is appealed. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is summoning members back to Washington for a special session after they adjourned for a six-week recess last weekend. As NPR's David Wellner reports, Senate Democrats unexpectedly moved a bill forward today to avert widespread teacher layoffs, and that measure can't become law unless the House acts as well.
Senate Democrats managed to break a GOP filibuster of a bill sending $10 billion to hard-strapped states to avert teacher layoffs and another $16 billion to help with Medicaid payments. Two Republicans also voted to end the filibuster. One of them was Maine's Olympia Snow, who said the Senate can't pass the bill alone.
If it is an emergency, as the majority has indicated, then I'd suggest they as well recall the House of Representatives, come back and take it up.
Hours later, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi sent out a tweet announcing she will be calling the House back into session early next week to, in her words, save teachers' jobs. David Wellner, NPR News, the Capitol.
Federal prosecutors say a 26-year-old Chicago man was plotting to go to Somalia to become a suicide bomber with Al-Qaeda. NPR's Cheryl Corley reports the man allegedly turned to an FBI informant for help.
The FBI says it has been investigating 26-year-old Shakir Masri for 18 months and arrested him just hours before he was scheduled to leave Chicago. He now faces charges of attempting to aid a designated terrorist organization, including Al-Qaeda, and attempting to use a weapon of mass destruction. Masri says he's a U.S. citizen who was born in Alabama but raised abroad. He told an FBI informant last month he had decided to travel to Somalia to aid Al-Qaeda. The government says Masri expected the informant to travel with him and to provide money for the trip and guns. The charges against Masri come 5 months after a Chicago cab driver was charged with trying to send funds to a Pakistani militant group. Cheryl Corley, NPR News, Chicago.
The Institute for Supply Management says the service sector expanded last month. In fact, it says all non-manufacturing sectors grew in July. And since the majority of the nation's jobs are in the service sector, the news boosted spirits on Wall Street. The Dow closed up 44. The Nasdaq gained 20. This is NPR. A leading government scientist says the impact of the BP oil spill on wildlife will probably last for decades. Jane Lupchenco, head of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, cites bluefin tuna as an example, saying because they spawn at this time of year, eggs exposed to oil will probably die or be significantly affected. Lupchenco also says the oil remains a threat to aquatic life and Gulf Coast marshes. Toyota is posting its most profitable quarter in 2 years. As NPR's Frank Langfitt reports, that comes even though millions of Toyota vehicles have been recalled.
Earlier this year, Toyota looked wounded. The company was recalling model after frightening complaints of runaway vehicles. A longtime darling of consumers and the automotive press, Toyota faced a near-daily barrage of terrible publicity. Now, all that seems like a long time ago. From April through June, Toyota posted a profit of more than $2 billion. And despite a sluggish global economy, it sold more than 400,000 more vehicles than it did a year ago. It wasn't easy. Toyota spent a fortune on marketing to counteract all that negative press. And the near future may not be quite so smooth. The recovery of the U.S. economy has slowed, and Japanese government incentives to replace old cars with more fuel-efficient ones expire next month. Frank Langfitt, NPR News, Washington.
General James Mattis is on his way to taking over as head of the U.S. military command, overseeing the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. A Senate panel voted to confirm his nomination today, and he's expected to be confirmed by the full Senate as soon as this week. President Obama selected him to replace General David Petraeus. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington.